Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.
And we are off, everybody. It's Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine. Today, I'm hanging out with Michael Bay. Michael is heading the development of low-carbon hydrogen products in Americas for ExxonMobil's low-carbon solutions business. Hey, Michael, thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, Michael, in this role, you're overseeing the development and pursuit of a portfolio of low-carbon and hydrogen and ammonia opportunities across the U.S., Canada, and the rest of Americas. But give us some more insight into the scope of your role.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we started, I joined LCS. I've been with ExxonMobil for about 20 years, joined LCS about a year and a half ago or so, low-carbon solution. We've been focused on really creating a low-carbon hydrogen business for ExxonMobil. We like to say, that we're color agnostic. So we don't look at, the colors per se for the hydrogen, but we look at the carbon intensity of those hydrogen molecules that we're producing. And we believe that at the end of the day, we'll probably end up with a portfolio of different hydrogen technologies, low carbon hydrogen technologies across the world in our portfolio as we build it up. It so happens that today the cheapest way to produce low carbon hydrogen is blue hydrogen. That's the most cost competitive today. So the announcements that we're hearing about now, in the Houston area for 1 billion cubic feet a day of hydrogen would be blue. And that would be kind of, we're calling it the activation phase. It's our first mega project in the low carbon space, low carbon hydrogen space. And then of course, over time, we look at each one of the markets in the Americas and also for exports and figure out where does it make sense for us to add to that and grow our portfolio and, with the right business fundamentals around it.
Yeah, so excited. So today the FEED's been awarded, correct, for this, what Exxon's calling the world's largest low carbon facility in Baytown, correct?
Yeah. We just awarded FEED. We've been looking at this for over a year and we've been very excited, very excited. Team's very excited about getting this project off the ground and, it will have the potential for selling, low carbon hydrogen along the Gulf Coast in the greater Houston area, but also the ability to take some of that and export it globally via ammonia to other countries or other customers. And then basically really, we determine the size. We're trying to figure out an economy of scale so we can help bring the cost down and play a part in having a competitive fuel. At the end of the day, hydrogen is still, low carbon hydrogen is still, one of the challenges it has is still more expensive than other sources of fuel that exist out there. So we're going to have to work together, public sector and the private sector on figuring out a way to bring the cost down and make this a cost competitive alternative to society.
So Michael, is there a timeline for kind of final FID just to get a feel for that?
Yeah, we've been working really hard on that. The FEED is the first step. It kind of talks about, it's a abbreviation for front end engineering for the project. After that, we go through basically a decision, on all the conditions of the project to fully fund it. We think funding the project is, we're targeting right now, fully funding for next year in 2024. And if everything goes according to plan, then the project hopefully will be up and running in the 2027, 2028 timeframe.
Exciting, man. Really cool. So
yeah, we're excited.
Talk about the storage of the CO2. Do you have to, you know, create that infrastructure? Does that infrastructure already exist?
Yeah, we are definitely, we have to create it in a sense that you know, the reservoirs exist. We think the Houston, Texas area and the U.S. Gulf Coast area is one of the best to store CO2 into. And so we are looking at multiple sites. We're lucky to be in this space and in this area and on the U.S. Gulf Coast. Other areas in the United States, as you go inland or you go to other countries outside the United States, it becomes really hard, if you know, not impossible, to store CO2 just because they don't have the right rock and right formation for it. But here we're very lucky. We have a large you know, space to be able to store CO2 in the Gulf or inland. And we're looking at these multiple options and trying to figure out the most, you know, cost competitive way that we can do it within the within this time frame, right, for a startup in 27, 28.
Interesting. Yeah. And I have some understanding that there could be enough capacity for maybe even third parties to also store CO2. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's interesting. The whole thing started kind of with a challenge we were given about a year and a half ago from our senior manager and our CEO. It says we defined the challenge. It defined the challenge for us as the 100 million tons of CO2 emissions, industrial emissions in the greater Houston area. Okay, go find a solution to help solve the problem for the greater Houston area for the 100 million tons. And we started by looking at, you know, carbon capture, transportation, storage. And then we quickly came to the conclusion that for the hard to decarbonize sectors, you know, look at petrochemical plants or refineries, et cetera, it's really hard to capture the CO2 along, you know, all the different locations that you'll have to do it on a site. It is much more cost effective to bring in low carbon hydrogen as a fuel, and then that way you avoid emitting the CO2 altogether. But in general, what ends up happening then is some facilities in the greater Houston area would be cheaper for them to go through carbon capture, transportation, and storage. And some facilities like ourselves would be cheaper for us or more cost competitive for us to use low carbon hydrogen as a solution. And as a result, yeah, you're going to have a mix in the greater Houston area of those that depend on hydrogen, those that depend on carbon capture, transportation, and storage. And as a result, we came in at the beginning and thinking, let's help develop both of these in the greater Houston area. So although we're bringing hydrogen for ourselves in our own facility and other customers, third-party customers, we said we also want to start building a carbon transportation storage business, offer that services to third parties who it's more competitive for them to you know, capture the carbon than use hydrogen. Wow. And so, yes, to answer your question, we will be offering the transportation storage facilities that we're developing to third party to help decarbonize the part of the sector that can't rely on hydrogen.
So Michael, when you talk about low carbon hydrogen production, there's a lot of talk about the intensity of this. What is this Houston project going to be in that regards?
Yeah, we that's a great question. You know, we for this Houston project in particular, we are happy to announce that we'll be capturing more than 98% of the CO2 that's generated at the hydrogen plant. That would be, you know, a pretty significant number. We continue to optimize it. And of course, we're going to continue to work on the scope 1, 2, and 3 associated with this project. But we're already pretty excited to capture the vast majority of that CO2 right here, you know, at the plant, and optimize that with the licensors that are working with us on this project.
And Michael, too, for edification of our audience, too, can you just briefly describe scope 1, 2, and 3 and what that kind of means?
Yeah, I mean, scope 1 is really the CO2 that's produced at the facility itself versus a scope, you know, that you control in your own facility versus scope 2 that might be coming for power to supply the hydrogen plant. So the scope 1, which is the CO2 produced at the plant, we are capturing the vast majority of it, is at, you know, over 98%. And we continue to optimize that and improve on that number. In terms of, you know, a scope two and the power that we bring to the project, we're looking at, you know, the alternatives to make sure that that number is very low as well. And that's still under, we're part of that, you know, pre-FEED engineering that we're going through.
Well, thanks, Michael. Well, look, anything else you want to add before we wrap up this update?
Yeah, I think it's a great project. We're very excited about it. Again, you know, we talked about, you mentioned the 1 billion cubic feet a day of hydrogen. To us, you know, we've said, you know, before, and you know, when we announced it for the first time last year, that's equivalent to over 1.5 million cars off the street. So there's pretty material investment that we're going after. But it comes with challenges, and it requires both the public and the private sector to work very closely together to make that happen, not just in terms of the complexity of the project or the amount of funding it requires, but also for the timing, you know, to make sure this happens by 2027, 2028, which is just, you know, 5 years or less away. There's a lot of planning, engineering, design, construction that is required. And part of that, for example, is we'll need a lot of work on a lot of different permitting and on both the hydrogen side as well as on the CCS side that you mentioned. And it really requires everybody to come together and figure out a plan for all these type of projects to proceed on time for us to meet whatever targets we set for ourselves for in the near term, in the 2030 or beyond that for 2040, 2050. I think we have to work on that very closely.
Makes so much sense, Michael. Exciting news. We appreciate you coming on with BIC and allowing us to spread this message out of this exciting project announced.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
So, Michael, I got to ask, man, I mean, with your last name and the famous movie director, what's your favorite Michael Bay film? You got to throw
it out. I always get that. But I honestly don't have a favorite, but I am a fan of Michael Bay and his Transformer movies.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Armageddon, Transformers, 13 Hours. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Whenever we lived overseas, when we were living in the Asia Pac region, living in Malaysia, that was people would get a kick out of it. Always ask me if I had a secret connection to the big director.
Well, look, I'll never bring it up again to you. I just had to get it out there.
No, it makes me. Yeah, it's fun.
Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it, Michael. Thanks for coming on and having some fun.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to hear the announcement, and we're interested in tracking this project ongoing. Feel free to come back on when you hit some milestones. More than happy to be a carrier of the message of the update of the project.
Will do. Thank you. Take care.
So appreciate it, Michael. Talk to you soon. And for everyone else watching, thank you so much. Remember, for more news, videos, and podcasts, you can visit BICmagazine.com. And guys, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BICmagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.